Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Oh, Poodle, we need to record 90 Day Fiancé.
I don't know. What if we recapped another show? Would that be okay?
Oh my, how original. Poodle, you can do whatever you want.
Right, it's my show.
Our show.
Our show. Want to hear my idea?
You have to keep your clothes on.
Then I have another idea.
When you don't know which to pick,
a nice vagine or a friendly dick. Bye.
Bye.
Curious, do. When you want another show,
not 90 day, one we don't know. Bye.
Bye.
Curious,
do. They say variety's the spice of life.
Why stop at just one husband or one wife?
Poodle, that's polygamy.
I'm sex positive.
So email, Facebook, send a text.
Tell us the show that we should do next. By Curious, on with the show.
Everyone, welcome to a very, very special Bi Curious episode. Well, we have our first. Is this our first Bi Curious 4G?
It is. Poodle.
Oh my!
Oh wow! I want everyone to keep an open mind.
We finally didn't have to pay people to test out their curiousness.
Exactly. The safe word is love is love. Or I love love.
Or
love is multiplied.
Love is multiplied. Yes. Oh, right.
Yes, love is. Yes,
love is
not divided. Not divided.
It's definitely not jealous. Boy, that word gets thrown
every
around
time he says that. I want to punch him in the fucking face. So I did introduce. This is Corey and Carly from Surviving Sister Wives are here with us. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
We are so excited to be here and talking about Sister Wives. There is not much of an audience who's interested in covering this, so I can't believe that you guys have finally made your way to it.
After we recorded, did Labor of Love, we're like, we'll do fucking anything now.
That's what we're here for. It's
that was
just
a new low.
Setting new lows, and we'll always be here to lower the bar with you.
Yes. Now, just because I'm a little OCD about this, each say which Corey and Carly for the listeners hearing your voice, so they know who's who.
Absolutely.
One is a man, and the other is obviously a woman.
Right,
Corey,
right.
I know a lot of women named Corey.
That's true.
Yes.
Do you know men named Carly?
I do not know men named Carly.
You never know. I'm glad Jake's shaming me for
no
just
shaming.
Wanting to identify
no
you.
Fine.
No
do shame. It. Do it. Do it.
Hi, my name is Corey.
And I'm Carly.
See, now they fucking
no,
know.
Now
no,
we
you
know.
Really should have just switched it around. Just to fuck with me.
Now it's all mapped out. Yeah, we got the
That's
whole plan set
out.
I hate, he makes me do that, and I hate all the.
It's
the
like,
kind of like
101
shit.
101 of hosting.
Is you know, but no, I don't have a script. I'm not going to go. I'm going to go off script. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, you're not trained. That's the problem.
No, I'm not.
It's like a wild,
I'm a
feral
I'm a,
dog.
I'm a bronco. I'm a bronco out in the wild.
Well, you know, no matter how many times we say our names at the top of the episode, we still get reviews that say the guy, the woman, the man, and the wife.
Wow. The guy, yeah. Wow. The man and the wife.
It's better than saying, and well, the two queers really know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's what we get. So we have, you know, we have not, we're going to be talking about Sister Wives. Which y'all have begged us to do forever and ever.
Our audience has been, ever since we started doing this, kind of a, we've switched it through shows, our audience has been begging us, and especially this season 16, which as you guys obviously affirm, this is their craziest season they've ever had.
You are so lucky that you waited until this season, because let me tell you, when we started, we jumped in, we jumped in late as a podcast. Mm-hmm. It was season 14 when we started. Oh, wow. And it was, again, the lowest of the lows. It was
a bad season.
It was a rough one.
I'm actually surprised that you have so many requests for us to talk about this, because the majority of the comments on Twitter when we first started this podcast were people complaining about the fact that Sister Wives was on instead of Pillow Talk and how they needed to cancel the show.
Season 14 was a rough go. Yeah, it was a mutiny. Jesus. Was happening.
But now, don't you have in your Patreon, don't y'all, I think y'all do what we did since you started late. Don't you go back and do the earlier seasons, right?
We do. So we actually recap the earlier seasons on the public feed.
Oh, okay.
So we've done
Sorry.
Seasons 1 through 6 at this point. And then once the season ends next week, we'll pick up at season 7.
Right. So the archives kind of get built out as we go along, but we start them off like during the off seasons for Sister Wives. We'll put them out on the public feed. So right now, 5 and 6 are on the public feed too. And then 1 through 4 are on the Patreon. And then once season 16 ends, we're going to throw 5 and 6 on there. We'll jump back in on 7 on the public feed.
Yeah, not confusing at all.
Yep, it's all numbers, moving it around. Numbers, yeah, who knew?
Hey. So if you guys don't watch Sister Wives, what you need to know is we're finishing season 16 right now. The part 3 tell-all, or three part tell-alls, we're going to be covering part 1 and part 2 in this kind of episode. We're also going to talk, Corey and Carly also do some 90 Day, or they watch it, I know, and a little bit Darce and Stace. And so we'll be talking a lot about that. We're going to do the first half of the show on this feed. If you're listening on this will be on our regular feed, but if you're listening on our Patreon, the whole episode will be there. But if you're listening on our regular feed, you will need to hop on over to Surviving Sister Wives and listen on their feed. Got it?
Got it.
I don't know who I said got it to. Like, y'all already know.
You're confusing it all.
Well, if you have a better way.
We're right there with you.
You did a great job.
Shut up. Don't you patronize me.
I mean, really, so I know nothing about the show. Jake knows a little bit more, but this is what I kind of enjoy. So, y'all, what we're talking about today is that that y'all asked us to watch the finale of season 1.
Episode 7.
7.
With,
and mm-hmm. then, yes, and then we watched the tell-all of this season of parts 1 and 2. So, that's always, but correct me if I'm wrong, but Sister Wives, this is the show that kind of launched all this kind of polygamous TV that we watch now, right?
That is right. This has been on for 16 seasons, but it's been on since, what, 2010?
2010. October Jesus. 2010 was when it first aired.
Wow.
So it has ushered watching? In a new era.
Who has watched for this long?
I don't know.
I mean, you know what? It's a dedicated audience, but I will say they are not there because they are fans of seeing the family succeed.
No. So you bring up a great point. Why y'all? Why this show? Like, what the fuck happened? How did you get sucked into this?
I have to know this too.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, well, like most things, I dragged Corey into watching it. I watch a lot of trashy reality TV, and this was just one of the things that we had on one day. It happened to be the season where Mary gets catfished. And,
I read about that. Okay. That I need to go back and watch part of that because I know I'm going to love that because I love Mary's confused face.
Oh, she doesn't get it. She does not get it.
She knows how to frown.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? Nobody frowns like Robin, though. Holy shit.
Nobody. So here's the... So you get sucked in, and Jake and I have gotten sucked into television.
I've gotten sucked into this show, and I didn't want to be.
Oh, yeah.
It's a whole different thing when you look across at someone and you look in the eyes and you say, do you want to do a podcast about this?
It was more, it was morbid curiosity, I think, is what started it. But usually with these types of shows, and to be honest, like season 15 and season 16, the show has gotten better from the standpoint of entertaining television. Because right. when we first started jumping in, it was bad. It was really not great TV.
Very
content.
Mundane.
Yeah. And yeah. just... but like, we were making fun of it, and we were that was how we were entertaining ourselves getting through the show. So that was how it was. We're not watching Sister Wives. We're surviving Sister
exactly.
Wives.
Exactly. That's point. A great way to think about it. It'd be like, Janelle's third kid loses a tooth. Yay.
Season 14, let me tell you, there were five different moves, people moving houses. That was what we watched in season 14.
Good Basically, God. The entire season.
The whole 14 season. Episodes. Was moving, and not even in an interesting way. It was the move to Flagstaff, but Mary didn't finish moving, and so she still had to be in Vegas for a little bit. Just all the back and forth between that. Oh my God, it was terrible.
I'll pass.
It was a snooze fest.
But we made it fun. Once we found out what a margarita episode is, when we do a double shot of tequila and drink some margarita, then the episodes get a little bit more entertaining. There's
very
a whole,
compelling suddenly.
There's a backstory that comes to the front, and we're just making up storylines. So we'll try to keep it straight between, if you're asking for history of the show, we'll kind of tell you what the actual history of the show is versus the fictional storylines that maybe we've made up along the way.
I think the fictional thing sounds even better, but I will say this probably, you know, mostly because I've just read a little bit about what happens in season 15 and 16. And I've I'm super interested, and I have been for a while since Big Love, in everything dealing with FLDS Church, the fundamental, the big lady dresses, the hair, all of it. I've been obsessed with. There's a great show called these four women who are escaping polygamy, and they're young women who help get other, mostly young women, out of polygamist cults. Mm-hmm. And hasn't had a couple new seasons in a while. And they all have, of course, terrible LDS names like Chanel. And, it's not the Mormon church isn't known for its, let's say, its names. They're all kind of awful. Like Aspen with ASPYN, don't get me started.
Oh, yeah, we've got our fair share of them here. Yeah. We got McKelty. Isabel with the Y, Truly with an E.
Oh no, Truly!
No, they're all terrible. But I'm just saying, I'm in because of this concept of women in one way and being completely subservient to this absolute cocker spaniel of a man,
mm-hmm.
And who kind of goes in between a cocker spaniel face and a lion, and I and also who's always bloviating about nothing.
And a cowardly lion, though, right?
He is,
like, not,
yeah,
definitely not.
No, not like lion. A not like a brave hot lion.
No, but less lovable,
right?
Let me clarify. I don't want to have sex with a lion, but you know how lions. I'm going to stop there.
Well, sometimes they look at you, and it's
sometimes they're just hot.
Okay. That was my question to you guys. If it was your first time watching it, how much did you hate Cody just off the bat?
He is a despicable human being. And not even that, he talks in this kind of like preacher at a mega church way.
Right.
Like, hey, kids, everybody, I'm the cool dad, but I'm really close to God. And like, God, no, God, I want to work. I want to communicate on a level that like, I'm like very forward thinking and progressive too. Let's go have non-alcoholic beer.
That is a great way to describe
that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, watching this was, cause this season, I would be interested. So normally we don't watch a lot of it because honestly, and I'm really the one, I can't stomach it. I can't watch a lot of it. It just makes me feel too, it makes me too upset for women that are in these situations. I know they choose to be there, but it's still just the control over women. I can't watch that much.
But this is not that story anymore.
It's not. But I'm just saying that's why I don't enter into a lot of it. So this was interesting, but also it's interesting if you don't know the show and you don't watch, if you don't know Cody at all, because I agree with everything you just said about him, but so much of this season was about COVID that a lot of like, At first I was like, I already kind of knew he was batshit crazy, the little I knew, but I'm going, okay, I get him. Like when COVID first happened, I was cleaning my mail. I was doing all this weird shit that now we know we don't have to do it all. So a part of you right. wanted to like sympathize with him. And then I realized, oh, this show is such a metaphor, or maybe the word's allegory, Poodle will correct me, but it's such a it's such a metaphor for the way that our country has used COVID for their own means to use it to either be factual or to just get what they want out of people.
Oh, like Robin and her nanny. Yeah. So
yeah, it's fascinating. So that is fascinating to me about this season.
No, we went through five stages of grief of realizing that we were agreeing with Cody and Robin on the majority of their COVID stance this season.
I completely do too. And I just want to say that I'm gonna say the things I'll say about Christine and Janelle and even Mary. I don't approve of any of the COVID practices they're saying. We do not espouse. So don't fucking come at us. If you're like, how dare you say that Christine can fly over the country and see. No. I'm not saying anything is right or wrong. I would much rather do what being safe like Cody, but it was all control.
Right.
It's all about Robin and having control. And Cody trying to control the family in a way, and it started with Robin, let's be honest.
Right, and that's why it was so hard to watch, because you have these conflicting feelings of, you know, where do I stand on this, and why am I siding with the people I'm siding with? And really, it comes down to the motive of why things are being done.
That's a great word for it.
And I think that was what we kind of pieced together. And one realization, too, was where it was like, the difference on our stance as well, too, was we had reached that point and we were removing ourselves from things. So if we were being invited to it, it was like, no, it's, you know, not COVID safe or not really something. It's too risky or whatever. So we were being risk averse. We were being conservative in those ways. But then it was the difference here being, if you're not following Cody and Robin's rules, then you have slighted them and it's a personal offense because now you've attacked them, but they are expecting everyone else to come to their level of security, I guess, in those ways, but then
or you'll be excluded,
or else you're going to be excluded. You're going to feel the wrath, and it's just like, no, it's, you know, if you're going to limit yourself in those ways, you're going to be the separating factor.
Yeah, and it did become something of, if you want to have access to the whole family, if you want to have, and the other thing I kept realizing watching this the tell all and things like that is, I guess what I always thought with polygamy is that you had the different wives' relationship with the husband, but I knew from Big Love that wasn't just it. You also had the wives' relationship with each other.
Right.
And you saw that has been – that has for most of those women, for three of those women, that has become the most important thing. And they have excised him out of their lives. And it's kind of amazing. And that's what I can't stop watching.
And when it comes down to it, I really think that's the issue that Cody had this entire season.
Yes.
Was that it was damaging to him personally to have them choose each other or choose their children over him when he wants to be the center of everything.
Right.
Yes, yes, or the authority, as he said, or the rule maker.
And Robin's just over there frowning, and Krista crying and a frowning. Y'all, those are the most manipulative fucking tears.
Oh, man.
I swear to God, I've never seen anything like that in that interview. When she was
I'm so glad that you picked up on that, because there are really two camps in the Sister Wives fandom. There are those who ascribe to the fact that she is very manipulative and have seen that for a long time. And then there's others who just don't see it and will defend her. So the fact
I saw it even in the beginning when she's first meeting them. Mm-hmm. She's already setting rules and boundaries.
Oh, man. And the weird side of it, too, was just, I guess that would be a good spot here, too. Were you feeling the same way from watching the season one finale? Did you have all of those initial responses compared to the football footage?
That's a good point. What I saw was she seemed to be this kind of shrinking Violet. And she's like, I'm so happy to join your family. I'm scared, but I want to be part of it. But what you would see when the women would kind of talk to her, and I honestly think Mary wants to fuck her.
but
honestly, that's what it felt like. Mary would be a lot happier with Robin. They'd go out and play golf together.
That's true.
You know,
it's not the first time we've heard that theory.
Robin and Robin sports a visor a lot. I'm just saying. You know, it plays into
two
it.
Two lady
just,
golfers. You know.
And, but nothing brings you closer to God than a good scissor.
I know.
But it's true.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies,
Good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
But I just want to say, even in that first episode, there's a couple of ways she's jostling him and kind of pumping him for like talking about. I cheated and watched a couple more episodes because
you watched the first episode. I just saw the finale.
I watched the first episode and then I watched like the second and third episodes. Y'all, this is so bingeable. I can't even tell you. mostly because I'm obsessed with how they relate to one another and.
I think it's interesting, though, in the wedding episode, I do think, which is the season one finale, they all get married. It is interesting to me that none of those bitches help her at all for their wedding. And then they even act like at one point, I think Janelle said, if we would have known she needed help, we would have. All she had to do was ask. And I was like, bitch, he has three wives. You all know what this is like.
No.
Fucking help this woman.
Thought you were going to take that avenue there because we did kind of lead you guys into that because honestly, yeah, if you watch the first episode, Robin's really not in it too
She's
much
not.
Because it's just when they're starting to date or
very
courting,
end.
They're courting.
God, I hate that word.
The courtship. So that's just like the start of that. So you only see her for the last couple minutes of the first episode.
Right.
So we wanted to have something where you guys would be able to see everybody and see that dynamic. If you jumped back one episode prior to the wedding, they're actually picking the venue, the cake, and the dress. So a lot of Robin is in there too.
Right.
And we realized a lot of different stuff as far as what was going on with that, because that was probably the highlight drama part of season one.
That's an iconic episode. In case, I guess we'll go ahead and spoil it. Robin goes shopping with her sister wives to pick a dress, doesn't leave with one, but has them thinking that she's going to select one of the ones that they liked. And she secretly goes back to the store with Cody and has him pick the dress. And he tells everyone on the couch during a couch interview, and they lose their shit.
Well, Christine specifically.
Of course.
Got up and walked out. Because
because you think that that's the first betrayal.
Well, yeah, you think that you're...
That makes so... But because that's interesting for me to hear, because I was... I agree. I think Robin, I saw her more watching the episode now, because I hadn't seen the episodes Jake had seen. I felt more, I want to say sorry for her, but more in the way of, this woman is totally just brainwashed by
she's a snake.
And she doesn't think. But I didn't see that, because I didn't see those episodes you saw.
So she's crafty,
So I've just seen that. So I'm just saying, this is interesting. This is probably how a lot of people see her in the world, is this poor woman is not crafty at all. This woman is just a product of being at the mercy of being told what to do by a man. That's what I took from this tell-all, from seeing her, because I didn't know any of this. And when she said, I never felt like I fit in, I felt like I was put off from the group from the beginning, I remembered, I remember those women didn't help her with this wedding at all. And so that's the pieces that I put together.
It was an interesting dynamic. Yeah, because it's like there were opportunities there where, again, it was seeming like they were forging these relationships, these bonds, because there was a whole other drama with the cake, too, where they were voting for the cake. And some of the wives were voting for, I know, right? This is the peak of Sister Wives season one drama. Because, again, I think that was the whole other issue with the show, was they started off proposing this and kind of introducing the family to us in a documentary format, because this was back when TLC was still kind of the learning channel as the, you know, the industry titan that it was. But
has they wrought?
It has devolved slowly into
or evolved.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just, and from that standpoint, I think they're finally realizing now at this point in the series, we're not a documentary story about a family of polygamists anymore. We're a reality TV show, and they're kind of leaning into it.
And this show is about women are now finding, now that they're no longer active mothers and a lot of their children are older, now they're asking, what do I do? This man isn't important.
Not even in the church. Christine's not even an active member in the church.
Right.
But they're asking, what's there for me aside from the cowardly lion whose hair changes about every seven episodes and always gets worse?
It's very interesting because Mary is the first one who goes through that in the series, because she has one child who's one of the older ones of the group. So she becomes an empty nester very early on, and she goes through that entire identity crisis. And everyone in the family kind of gives her a hard time about it. And that's what leads into the catfishing.
Yeah.
And now everyone else is starting to experience the same thing as their kids are leaving.
Yes. Because, and I think, and weirdly, and I was thinking about this, I wonder if this happens in other families where polygamy is the rule. And I think it's because this family is so overtly, radically communicative about everything they're feeling, in a way, because it's a reality show. It probably happens, probably doesn't happen, because in polygamy, this is how things are.
It's not talked about. This is,
you don't talk about you're not having constant conversations with your sister wives about, how do you feel about this? When you have him for a night, or then I want to have him for a night. I think this is a very different situation for these women.
Cody's go-to explanation for that is that comparison is the thief of joy. And he's stated that many times on the show. So that's become kind of a joking line that we were. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
It really is, though. Christine made such a change, because when I watched her in the first season with that fucking flower in the side of her hair.
We knew you were going to bring it up, but yes.
I was like, this woman is all in and she is cuckoo crazy. And I'm like so brainwashed by this. So to see where she is now, and she has this, again, she has something that you're not supposed to have probably for any of these women or Cody. She is seething anger. It is just coming out of her pores and she can't. So everything that comes from her, it's beautiful to watch as a reality show person, because it's so passive aggressive, on the hint of almost aggressive, but not, because you can't be aggressive because, it's just, oh man, it's like, I think this happens a lot. This is like a metaphor for fundamentalism just in general. If you don't believe in everything, if you don't subscribe to the church and follow the rules, you're out of the church. And that is such a microcosm probably of their religious experience.
What you said about anger, when she said, when Suki, the interviewer, was talking to her about Cody, she's like, I think Cody might be jealous of something. And she went, jealous. And she, the smile that came across her face. I lost my mind.
Y'all, that is what happened on the outside is she just smiled and said, now I know how we feel. But on the inside, it's like when Maleficent realized that
she became that dragon.
It was a child the whole time, right under her nose. And that's a gay reference, but that's what I thought of. Yeah.
That was Sleeping Beauty. That's classic. Come on.
That moment, that's why I'm going to have to go back and watch at least the last two seasons for Christine, and just to watch this subversion of Cody's authority from her and how she doesn't give a fuck anymore.
Because I guess I'm team. I don't know enough to be a team of someone. I still don't necessarily. I don't like Christine. I don't like her.
I do, but I love anyone who just turns and like, especially a man who thinks he knows everything and throws it back on him.
I love that about her. But like, if I met her in real life, I probably would think she was pretty insufferable to me.
No, she would say, "Get away from me, faggot! You're going to hell."
That's what she'd say. Yes, that's true. That's what she would say. But that was I think so much of reality shows, they want us to who's the villain, who's the hero, who do we love, who do we hate? And this show kind of threw me because I don't love really any of these people, but I'm so fascinated by what they're trying to break away from and sort through.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. And I think that was the real struggle that the show was going through. So from a reality TV standpoint, they didn't really have a set person to root for. They didn't have a set villain. They were putting Cody as the villain.
Yeah.
And then when you're watching that on a weekly basis, it's just like
exhausting.
Why are these people going through this? And why is TLC okay with just televising this on a weekly basis? Uh-huh. It was torture, essentially. So it was really, really rough. But now they were able to, with COVID, split the family into two different camps, where it was Janelle and Christine on one side, and then Cody, Robin, and kind of Mary when she she shows up. And
when she came off her widow's walk. going off in the desert and buying turquoise jewelry and playing golf.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Mary.
Y'all, I'm basically saying Mary should have been a lesbian. I mean,
we got that. But also, I'm saying when Mary is all like, you know, I just want. She's trying to say she wants things back the way they were and all that. And that's, she's fascinated as well. I'm like, yeah, you want things back the way you were because you got fucking catfished because you were literally about to cheat on your husband and leave this fucking guy in the dust.
The problem is she's a bully and she did not love being on top. When she wasn't on top anymore and when she wasn't in one house controlling everybody, it was really hard for her to figure out, how do I fit in this family? So she wanted to be by herself.
that was part of that self-realization that she was having too as the empty nester, because then it was like, all right, well, do you become the babysitter for Robin's kids?
Right.
Because Robin's having kids and that's her job right now, as the new wife in the family. So it was a very strange place for Mary to navigate. And again, when she was going through that, that was back in season 5, season 6.
Yeah.
That led right up into the catfish situation.
They're like, honey, I don't think we should leave the kids with Mary. She might eat the young ones.
You know, it's funny too, because Cody had so many negative things to say about Mary. He's gone as far as she deceived him into marrying her. But the things that he despises about her are the same things that he has in his personality that are so unappealing.
She can read him like a book. She gets zeroed in on him and knows exactly what he's talking about, exactly what he means. She knows his train of thought better than anybody else. Mm. And I think it scares him.
They're cut from the same cloth.
Same.
It's the thing we talk about the show on, now that you spot it, you got it. So I think that's what he's just pointing out, what he is.
And exactly. She was basically, he's like, it's a friendship, basically. And we haven't been, and then Suki asked her, how long since you've been intimate? She's like, about a decade or so. Y'all, she's living her golf life. She's out there with her Georgia O'Keeffe paintings.
Oh, wow.
Going to Taos on the weekends.
If you're a lesbian and you're listening to the show, you can email your concerns and comments to @JakeItOrFakeIt.
Listen, I love lesbians. And I know not all lesbians are that, but she would be one of those lesbians. Yeah.
Well, the argument was, because it used to be, that was another one of Mary's roles in the family, was she was the recruiter. She would pick wives.
She was bait.
For Cody. Blech. She was like, oh.
I mean, she probably did a lot of workouts to Susan Powder in the 90s, I'm sure.
Yeah.
She did. So, like, that was kind of one of her roles was collecting the new wives and presenting them to Cody. Gross. It was gross. But like the way that we've kind of compared it to was that she had fertility issues. And then aside from obviously abstinence was being the number one fertility issue that she faced with Cody.
If you don't want to get pregnant, don't have sex.
You don't want to get pregnant, don't have sex.
So that aside from that issue, but this was basically bringing Robin in. They talk about it in the book, Mary and Cody's relationship was at probably the lowest point that it was at that time. So she was kind of having like the relationship saving baby by bringing Robin in. And that was kind of where we made that comparison before too.
But it's so weird though, in that episode of the season 1 finale, they shows them getting ready together and you see like, you saw at the time, like, watching it because I watched that first. You see Cody kind of looking at Mary, Mary looking at him, and it looks like they want to make out. And he says, like, are you going to kiss me? She's like, I don't know. And she says, I wish we were having a visit tonight. And then I thought, okay, they like want to rip each other's clothes off. But now
that was for the cameras, I bet.
I think it's also those shows, their complete miscommunication of sexuality. Just when you see now, like, oh, this was the beginning of the end for them.
Right.
Remember, they were married when they were like 17, 18 years old, or 19 or something like that. Something ridiculous.
They're like 19 or 20.
Yeah, that was what it is.
Pretty young.
But no, what you were saying, there is this dynamic. I had a thought, my best realizations are usually in the shower when I'm thinking about something. And a shower thought I had was, it's almost like the day Cody married Robin or brought Robin in was the beginning of the end of polygamy for them. And it, for all intents and purposes, and COVID finished it off.
That's we're right in there.
Because Robin, if it had been another woman who wasn't as savvy, and because I just watched a couple of like their best episodes people were putting, because of course I was like, I love this show. Because that's all I need is another show.
Oh yeah.
But even like the some of the moving things, you would just see Robin doing little things the whole time, when either trying to side with one wife to pit one wife against another, or just trying to make sure she got the last word with Cody on something.
Mm-hmm. And it was she's very
sinister.
Good at.
Mm-hmm.
The agreement. That was the cake issue when they were voting on cake because the wives were voting on one thing. And then Robin had to hold her vote until she knew it was the one that Cody liked too. Yeah. So then Cody got the cake that he wanted for their wedding.
This is exactly what Robin's wanted all along. To really have to be number one wife in a way, which she kind of is now. She's the only one who he's really having sex with. Janelle says they're having sex, but who knows? You know,
she says they're fine. She didn't say they were having sex. She says it was fine. So it's whatever level she wants.
She really didn't answer the question.
It could be low.
But Robin has the relationship she wanted. And she started out with fourth wife, and she's now at first wife. It's really kind of, it's like an Eve Harrington performance, really.
It's Game of Thrones. Yeah, it was cutthroat for a while.
That is a much more heterosexual view, Corey, than mine was. But because I just basically made an all about Eve joke.
I don't know what Corey just said. I am so confused.
And I'm a little turned on. Instead of like mansplaining, he just straight-splained.
He straight-splained you.
He straight-splained me.
Wow. You know?
I am offended and a little turned on, like I said.
Same. Wow.
You're welcome. Straight-splained. I don't know. Oh, boy.
I'm using that. You just straight-splained me.
Great.
Fantastic.
But no, I understand the fascination with this show, and I could not be more of a Robin hater after just what I've seen. I hate Cody with a white hot burning passion, but Robin is his acolyte, and it's just worse.
Isn't it interesting to me, and I would like to know everyone's thoughts on this, is that it's also like, and maybe this is a fundamentalist thing, but it's almost like, I don't feel like, at least in the episodes I saw, mainly in the tell-all, where, you know, Janelle and Christine have this kind of, Janelle and Christine that have the bond, so to speak. But they
Because
talk
Christine about, basically raised Janelle's kids.
But they have that, but then at the same way, I feel like it's so weird to me that they have this bond, but yet they never say that the bond supersedes Cody. They never say that. It's always almost, didn't you feel like they're downplaying their relationship? Whereas I felt like if I'd watched the whole season or you see them in real life, they're totally probably talking shit about Cody.
It's the lifestyle they're in. There's so much, they know this is going to be televised, and they actually don't want to talk shit about the father of their children.
Well, what do Corey and Carly think about since they watched the whole show? You're too excited.
I will be quiet. I am so excited about it.
There are actually some points in season 16 where they do just that, where they get together and they're talking a little shit on Cody about how he's treating them because he kind of teams up on them about their stances on COVID.
Right.
And so there's a little bit of that. And then they definitely still have a relationship, even though Christine has left the family, because they post a lot on social media together. They're both in an MLM selling Plexus together.
Because of course they are.
Issues. Yeah, it's a whole other set of issues.
What is that with LDS people and MLMs? Holy fuck.
None of these people are good people, but you root for them. That's what's kind of like mind-blowing to me.
Well, their society's just kind of built for it, you know? It's just, there's a lot of people, so it's a big audience. And
a lot of people to sell things.
Right, and a lot of people in your downline, and that's how you make the money.
You have a whole family of downline.
It works great.
That is so true. You're like, the religion's kind of built for it. Yeah. When you think about it. I think you're so right that they do. And I don't mean to be a conspiracy person, but I think one of some of the COVID protocols that you know, I'm sure that Robin and the nanny were planning. I love it how it's always like, and Christine's like, what does the nanny do?
What does the nanny
do? She says,
and I'm following all of the CDC guidelines. Yes, I'm. Oh, wait. I don't remember where they said I can fly across the country, but whatever. I'm following all the guidelines.
I think this was all cooked up to isolate Cody further and further from those other wives.
We have a smoking hot theory. We have a huge conspiracy that we've built over this season was that Christine and Cody have been broken up and separated since the end of 2020, probably at around the time of Isabel's surgery this season, was the suspicion where we were kind of getting to that place and trying to figure out timelines of stuff. And we were kind of applying that in some of their things, but with the way they were fighting in some situations and where those conversations were happening, storming off.
The hostility they had towards each other just already felt like some type of conversation had already occurred that was pretty bad.
Wow.
Seemed like there was some finality. There's no evidence or it's all completely fabricated in our minds. Just throwing that out there too for clarification, because we just make shit up all the time. So that's just kind of how we operate.
You know what? That's much more. It's much more interesting that way. I feel like
it works.
I think what we're doing. We pretty much talked a lot about some tell all stuff. I want to talk a little bit more about Sister Wives on our next thing on you guys. And we're going to talk about some 90 Day stuff and some Darcy and Stacey stuff. So join us. We're going to finish up this little brief bit. But y'all, meet us on Surviving Sister Wives on their pod.
Before you forget, where can they find you?
You can find us on Twitter at @surviving_pod and on Patreon at patreon.com/survivingpod.
Yep. And then if you're listening on the public feeds, we're all over the place. We have our Podbean site. We're on Apple, Google, Spotify, all the fun ones.
All the places you listen to.
Podfuck.
Are you on MormonRadio.net?
Probably. They're probably patching from the RSS feed everywhere.
Picklefinder.net. That's where you can find us.
Yeah, that is true.
Picklefinder. So, you guys, join us over there, and we will see you there. Thank you so much, Carly and Corey, and we will see you soon.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yes.
Can I take my clothes off now?
No.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.